surface to 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's do this. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, November 25th, 2025. And, hey, I don't have to tell you, if you've been out, it's been rough this morning. But the worst is behind us. The severe weather threat is behind us. I know, Chase, you get up really early anyway, but it woke me up, I want to say probably, I remember looking at the clock, about 4:45, somewhere in that range, just pounding on the roof. So I got up and I went in the living room. Of course, I live over there, you know, next to the river and the train trestle in downtown Northport. So I looked out the windows and I was like, whoa, it was raining sheets, man. And then the thunder and the lightning started. And so I cut my phone on and kind of started checking the weather and saw there was a, you know, threat of severe weather. And it was loud, but it's now just kind of down to that smooth rain. And let me say this, we need it. We need it badly. So not going to hear me complaining about it. And plus, I am not going to complain about the cooler temperatures coming either. I mean, it's not going to be freezing cold. But at least on Thanksgiving, I don't know about you, Chase. Everybody's different, I guess. And there's been a lot of hot Thanksgivings over the years. But to me, Thanksgiving is much better when there's a cool crispness in the air. And if you go outside the front yard to play some football, you got to have a sweatshirt on, you know, and you're not burning up 75, 80 degrees. And we're going to get that this Thanksgiving. You know, it's going to be cool. So, and eating a big Thanksgiving meal with turkey and dressing and all the fixings, all that heavy food goes a lot better with cooler temperatures to me. What about you?
Man, just memories, Gary. When I was younger, just literally waiting for food to be ready, putting on college football, literally the Bears and the Packers, and just walking outside after being done with my brothers and just how cold it would be. It's the perfect combination. I don't like hot weather on Thanksgiving. It seems just out of the ordinary, Gary, but yeah, I agree 100%. Cold weather all the way.
Yeah, it's the holidays, man. We want. So anyway, it's going to get cooler, but this rain is badly needed. So it's a good day. It's a good day. You know, driving in, you have to be a little bit careful when the roads are wet. But other than that, it's now settled into that nice, smooth rain. We're sitting here in the studio looking out the window. I love it. I absolutely love it. So no complaints for me. All right, something else I'm going to mention before we get into the show. We got phone callers already lined up as well. I'll give you the guest list. We'll talk Alabama men's basketball. Listening to Wimp and Barry this morning and Larry the Music Man, who, of course, his segment's tomorrow morning at 10:30. But when he called in and they were talking about Elvis, I agree with what Larry and Wimp were saying, or Larry was saying about getting Wimp on to talk about those stories of all the years that he was coaching here, all those concerts at Coleman Coliseum. But that story he told about Elvis was great. That was a great story this morning. I really enjoyed that. So, all right, we got a good show on tap, as I said. Before we go any further, though, let me tell you, this hour of the Gary Harris Show is being brought to you by Alabama Credit Union, member-owned and not-for-profit. It's just a better way of banking. Discover the heart and soul of our member-owned credit union, empowering our members, enriching our community. That's what we're all about. Unlike a traditional banking institution that's taking its profits to pay off its shareholders, Alabama Credit Union is a nonprofit. That means the profits that it generates are going back to you, the member, in the form of lower interest rates on loans and higher dividends. That's something we can all get excited about. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Alabama Credit Union. Loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership. Then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little change in your pocket. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. We like that. All right, here's the lineup for today. The Rocket Man, Drudy Arm, 9:30. ESPN Radio in Huntsville will join us. And look forward to visiting with Drew as we do every Tuesday. Also, Jeff Spiegel moving up a couple of days because obviously Thursday's Thanksgiving. We will not have a show. We'll have Coach Ellis Johnson tomorrow. I'll try to get D. Orlando Ledbetter either tomorrow or Friday, but Jeff Spiegel is going to join us today at 10:30. So a good group of guests and good show on tap. All right, before we get to phone calls, I said this on the short version last night for me on social media in regards to Alabama and Gonzaga is this. Gonzaga, too big, too strong, too experienced for Alabama last night. This was a close game until the last 3 or 4 minutes. Gonzaga pulled away and won 95-85. It's Alabama's second loss, and I'm not disappointed. In that four-game stretch that they just completed, I said against St. John's, Purdue, Illinois, and Gonzaga, I said preseason. You heard me say it on this radio show. If they went 2-2 in that four-game stretch, I'd be happy. So I'm not disappointed. The kind of player games that they've played, the kind of competition they're playing to be 3-2 overall and 2-2 in that stretch, I don't think that represents Alabama in a bad way at all. But I do think, again, it shows the areas that this team's going to have to get better. Much like in the Purdue game, of course, it's easy to say, well, those big, strong, powerful, experienced teams give Alabama credit. Chase, they give everybody trouble. They give everybody trouble. You know, Gonzaga's a load. Purdue's a load. You know, even though Alabama beat Illinois, they're a load. You know, these are some of the best teams in the country, so they give everybody trouble. But I will say this. Alabama, when you play the way they play and you recruit bigs who are more, you know, still want to spread the floor and shoot the three, you sometimes are going to get out physical. And I don't know the answer. You know, the roster is the roster. If Collins Ndiaye could get back, that would probably help him. You know, he's a young guy, but he's 250, 60 pounds. You know, I look at the inside players for Alabama, and I'm just not sure that they're ready to compete against these types of teams. Noah Williamson, the transfer from Bucknell, 7 feet. He's about 200, I have to look him up, but I think he's like 250 pounds. But he's not a physical player. I mean, he's not a guy, at least from what I've seen, that's going to get in there and mix it up. So, you know, you look back at the game, and Alabama, I think, had a 2-point lead, or it was a tie game or something, about 6 minutes to go. And Alabama went through a stretch where they missed some wide-open threes. They missed some free throws. And the next thing you know, you're behind against a team that you get behind like that, and they're going to beat you. Just too much inside power for Gonzaga. And, again, I don't know. I think Alabama's going to be fine. They played without Latrell Reitzel. Again, I think he's going to be out for the entire tournament out there, the Players Era tournament in Las Vegas. Alabama plays UNLV tonight. And no Latrell Reitzel. So, you know, he is such a help to them when he's in the lineup. But unfortunately, he's not always in the lineup. So I'm not disappointed that they went 2-2 in this stretch. I am a little disappointed that the same thing that happened against Purdue happened last night. And I don't know if there's any answers. I just at this point, I don't know. I don't know how you reshape your team. I mean, a lot of times they're playing four guards. You know, Sherrill looks the part. He's big. He's strong. He's talented. He had a good game last night. But he's still not a guy that's, you know, in Alabama's system, a traditional low-post big man. I mean, they play the way they play. But against these kind of teams, you got to have a little bit of physical toughness and determination to get in there and to mix it up and to fight for loose balls and give it all the back. And I thought the effort, I'm not saying they didn't lack effort, but I thought toward the end of the game, you know, that size, that strength, this is a mature basketball team. Now, this is another one of these teams, Chase, that I think they average like 24 years per man or something in their starting lineup. So you get into a deal where, and anyway, yeah, now we got, hey, I'm going to send you Nate Oates, by the way. I'm about to email it to you right now because I know we got the football press conference from yesterday, but I'm also really interested maybe in what Nate Oates had to say because I haven't even heard it last night. We didn't get it sent down until late, so I'm going to send that to Chase and we may get to it because, again, too big, too strong, too experienced. I mean, that's my take on what happened last night. All right, we got tons of phone calls lined up, so let's go ahead and start taking some phone calls. We'll get one in this segment. We'll get Robbie Glenn on, and then Mary in the ATL and Corey in Atlanta, or Mary in Atlanta, and Corey in Trustful. I can't talk this morning. You guys hold tight. Hey, Robbie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gary. Happy wet Tuesday. And you're right, we needed the rain. I'm out in it. It's nasty, but I'm glad it's going to be cooler for Thanksgiving because when you're eating food, nothing worse than being a fat, stuffed kid when it's hot.
You're right. Absolutely.
I keep eating. But you said it right. It's the same thing over and over with Bama, and it's not that the effort wasn't there. It's just when they play this physical team that's older, that knows how to do things, it frustrates them and it knocks them out of their game. And I wish, you know, they went on to that one-on-one dribbling too much, kept turning the ball over, and it knocked them out of their flow of their game. And Bama's, we know that they can't get in there and be physical as much as we'd like, and it is what it is. They're going to hit the threes. But they slowed the game down instead of just – I thought they didn't open it up and just drive the ball, get them tired, because they were – Gonzaga was getting tired trying to keep up with them. And they're a good team. It's not a powder puff that they lost to.
I think Gonzaga's got a chance to be a great team.
Yeah, that's a great – even they were talking about it before the game, a lot of those guys picked them in the Final Four because of what they have. And they are. They're solid. So, Bama, I thought if they were to stick to their guns, run, couple passes, hit the three, don't get it, but still keep running. But they started slowing it down doing that one-on-one dribbling, and it let them set their defense. And it just – I thought frustrated Bama. And, again, when you're crashing the boards, you saw Gonzaga crashing hard and getting elevated, putting butts on them. And Bama just doesn't do that. You know, they come and they get under the basket and they wait to jump. You got to put a butt on somebody and try and get. And if that ball's on the ground, get on the floor and get it and out-scrap them. They were going to have to earn that victory last night because the shots weren't going and they just didn't get it done. Now, I do want to see how they respond. That was a tough loss. They got to turn around and play again tonight against UNLV. I don't know anything about them, but, you know, they scored. You know, so they're going to have to come back and score. I'm going to try my best to watch how they start. I don't know if I can stay up for the whole game, but 11:30 is a late tip. But I want to see how they respond and get back after it. File on a great game, but the other guys got to step up and help and just run the team out of the gym. And that's what they're known for, and that's what they got to get back to.
Sounds good, Robbie. Thank you, man.
All right, Gary. Roll Tide.
Appreciate it. All right, tell you what, we got to get to the break. We got phone calls lined up. We got Mary. We got Corey. We got George and Macon. You guys hold tight. We'll get to you in the next segment. Drew DeArmond coming up a little bit later on. The Gary Harris Show on a wet Tuesday in T-Town rolls on after this.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa thread.
Good Tuesday morning. Former Democrat Alabama U.S. Senator Doug Jones has filed papers to run for the Democrat gubernatorial nomination next year. That could set up a rematch between him and Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville, who is the frontrunner for the GOP nomination. Tuberville beat Jones by almost 500,000 votes in the 2020 U.S. Senate race. Click TuscaloosaThread.com throughout the day for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three special.
Contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127. North River Timber, co@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Visit alabamacu.com to learn more. Some rules and restrictions apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy with a few passing showers and thunderstorms today, the high 72. For tonight, storms ending this evening, the low 53. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny and noticeably cooler, the high tomorrow very close to 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports. And on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Got on the top. It's like a silver plate. The sun up.
922. Weather update from Michael Clements at his personal weather station. Sent it to me some info. 1.82 inches in Northport at his personal weather station since midnight, close to 2 inches. 2.32 inches at the Lake Ridge Station past Lake Tuscaloosa Dam since midnight. So we've gotten pretty good soaking. Not a bad thing. All right, phone calls. We got a lot of them lined up. Mary in Atlanta is going to lead us off in this segment. Hey, Mary.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Great. Good morning. Hey, I missed you on Saturday.
No, it's okay. We just walked around on the strip a little bit after, and then right when you messaged me, we had just pulled up to eat, and we were just tired and hungry and ready to go.
Oh, I understand. Yeah, I had a little work to do after the game. What's going on?
Well, I think y'all kind of sent the rain my way over here. It is absolutely pouring over here. So
yeah, you're getting what we got about, you know, 5 o'clock this morning. That really, it's going to be strong for a while, and it's lightened up here, but you're going to get a good dose of it for a while.
Yeah, it started about, I want to say 2 hours ago. I was walking toward the front end to grab a diet soda, and you cannot even see the parking lot here. It was a gully washer.
Yep.
But yeah, just the usual, as that classic song says, taking care of business and working a lot of overtime. I heard a very interesting comment the other day from somebody from Bama 247 Sports talking about this week. I'm not nervous. I am not nervous. My hatred that thrives for that team, just it keeps me calm and makes me even more confident that we're going to win and give them exactly what they need, which is a good butt kicking on Saturday. And I heard somebody from Bama 247 Sports state, and see if you agree, if we do not play this game in a way saying, like, going into head-to-head combat, the past couple wins where we have played so good, and like Saturday night we had that sweep, it wasn't pretty and clean, but it was a great game. If we don't go into this game like we're going into head-to-head combat, all of that means nothing. Would you say that you agree with that?
So you mean just really just matching their intensity when you say hand-to-hand combat? You mean just being physical?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, you got to take it to them. You're on the road. They're going to be all hyped up. This is a chance for them to get bowl eligible, chance to snap a 5-game losing streak against Alabama at home. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to match the intensity. There's no doubt about it. You've got to be ready to play early in the game and set the tone. Yeah. And I feel like they will be. But, oh, yeah, it's going to be a 60-minute game. I mean, even though I've said Alabama's a better team, and they are, and Auburn's 1-6 in the league, it's not like Auburn got blown out in those games. So,
right,
you know, they're going to be ready to go. So yeah, you have to bring it. You have to, yeah, you know, like I always say, you got to bring some to get some, and that's what Alabama's going to need to do on Saturday night.
Sure. Is Deuce Knight somebody that we should definitely watch out for?
I wouldn't be shocked if they play him in the game. I mean, what he did against Mercer, that's just an impressive debut for a freshman quarterback, I think, as I've ever seen. I mean, it was incredible what he did. So, yeah, I think you got to plan on seeing Ashton Daniels and Deuce Knight, and who knows, you may see the other guy too. You may see them all three. So, I mean, Auburn's going to pull out all this, you know, every trick in the book. You might see two quarterbacks in the game at the same time. I mean, they're not going to let anything. They're going to empty the tank, so to speak. So, hey, Mary, great to hear from you. I got phone calls lined up, so I'm going to try to get to everybody. But thank you. Okay.
Of course. So have a great day.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Let's get to Corey and Trustful. Then we'll get to George and Macon. Then we'll get to Robert and Birmingham. Corey, we're not going to have as much time as we usually do, buddy, but go ahead. What you got?
Good morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
I'm nervous and I'm excited at the same time because it's an opportunity for Alabama to reach the SEC championship and potentially the college football playoff. But we all know the history of this game down there, and the thing that makes me nervous about this game is the special teams. And if this game either comes down to a field goal or special teams is involved one way or another, I just, you know, that doesn't favor Alabama. But if we can jump on them early, take the crowd out of it, that'll go a long way for Alabama. But I just think we know Alabama's the better team. But if you let Auburn hang around, you just know that they're going to have a chance to win this game. And I'm hoping that Ty Simpson saved his best for last and can put a four-quarter game together and get back to the groove he was like he was against Georgia. And I think that he can. But like you said, this will be a 60-minute game. And I just hope we're not holding our breath for a Connor Talty field goal.
Well, you know what? If you are, though, you got to have confidence Connor Talty's going to kick it. I mean, he's the kicker for a reason. And I hear everything you're saying, Corey, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But if it comes down to that, you just got to have faith. But hopefully it won't. Hopefully Alabama will take care of business. And by the fourth quarter, they'll be salting it away. Hey, great to hear from you, Corey.
Good to talk to you, Gary. Roll Tide.
Thank you, my friend. Hey, George and Macon, how are you?
I'm good. Gary, how you doing?
Doing great.
Thanks for taking my call, and I'll be brief. The game last night, what it was a clash of two styles.
Right.
One that's totally inside, and they also had a guy, their point guard, and their one of their forwards could shoot outside. And if we can win that game when we're close enough, but for us to win the game, when Aiden Holiday missed two or three three-pointers, and then we missed foul shots, and then we got sloppy with the ball, that did us in. And it was kind of the same way against Purdue. Remember, we had a chance to tie it at one point. We missed foul shots, missed some three-pointers. And another thing, we like to run the ball. But if the other team is making shots and getting offensive rebounds, that takes you out of your transition game. But we still had an opportunity to win if we'd have just hit two or three of those three-pointers at our foul shots.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
And the game Saturday, ball security is the key. If we do that, I think we'll end up with a good result. We just can't give them any confidence. We got to jump on them early and stay on them and just not give them opportunities with turnovers. So that's kind of my say. And you have a great day, and thank you for letting me express my opinion.
Thank you so much, George. Great thoughts. And we'll take one more call before we hit the break. It'll be a basketball call, I'm pretty sure, as well. Robert in Birmingham. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Robert. I mean, hey, Gary, hope you have a good Thanksgiving. That guy right there just stole all my thunder. The football, we got to get on them early. Every year we kind of come out of that game sleepwalking in football. And then basketball last night, it was sloppy. It was uninspiring. They didn't play hard from the very beginning. And Reitzel not playing is a big deal. That's another shooter that spreads things out. And our big guys like that quit reaching. The big guys quit reaching. Just put your hands straight up. We got to have that Bowen guy on the floor in games like that. And he reaches so much, he fouls. Him and Sherrill are fouling guys, 20 feet from the basket.
Right.
So I know you're up against the Braves.
No, I got a couple of minutes. That's why you finish your thought.
No, quit reaching. I mean, they track all the steals and all that kind of stuff, but just maybe they should start giving a point for when you go guard somebody and you put your hands, get in defensive position, put your hands straight up. Don't reach. I mean, that the fourth or fifth foul by Bowen, by TBB, was 20 feet from the basket. And we need whenever Sherrill, or Sherrill, what's his last name, 22, when he has to play that many minutes, he has some good plays, yes, but he has usually more bad than good. He was on the floor way too much last night.
Yeah,
couple
of things I agree with you on. I mean, first of all, Noah Williamson, listen, everything's done for reasons, and there's NIL budget reasons. He doesn't, at this point, look like he can play at this level. I mean, I'm just being honest with you.
It was the first person they signed. That was a bad eval by the team, in my opinion.
Well, we'll hope he develops a little bit more. Collins Njiaka, I know, is a little bit of a project, but I wish he were healthy because he's got some size that nobody else on that team has. Sherrill is a gifted player. He had a good game last night for the most part. But again, it's hard to ask people to be who they're not designed to be and who you don't design them to be. And Alabama can look so great at times, but when they, of course, again, Robert, I want to be fair. Everybody's going to struggle against Gonzaga. I mean, they're a good team. Big, physical, strong, mature teams are tough.
They're not unbeatable.
But no, they're not. No, absolutely not. They're not going to be. But my point is, I hate to say, well, Alabama struggles against big, physical, mature teams, because a lot of people do. Having said that, when you play the way Alabama plays and you're not knocking down your threes, and the ball's not moving, and you're missing free throws, you can look, it can look bad at times. Because to say, you know, do they need to be tougher? Yeah. But to say that with the style that they employ, that they're going to be able to consistently out-rebound a Gonzaga or a Purdue, it's not going to happen. You're not going to change who you are just because you're playing a big, strong, physical team. Now, do you need to be somewhat tougher? Yes. But what you know, what you really need to do, Robert, is you need to play your style better. And if George and Macon was right. If Alabama knocks down a couple of those threes that were wide open down the stretch, if they make a few of those free throws, they would have had a chance to win that game. So I hate getting hammered on the boards, believe me. At the same time, if Alabama had played its style better than it played it last night, they would have had a chance to win the game. And what it comes down to me is Gonzaga did what they do better than Alabama did what they do. And that was the difference in the game.
Right. It'll be interesting to see. In a game where we don't shoot our three-pointers well, okay, but we rebound and make free throws, can we win a game like that?
Yeah.
That game, Gonzaga is not the team they were 5 years ago, not even close. They don't have the same players they used to have, in my opinion.
They're still not good.
What they used to be.
They're still good.
They're good. They're not great.
Well, you can't shoot 61% from the stripe in these kind of games. I mean, rebound
and get an even, you know, shoot, make your free throws, play defense, and have a, you know, pretty close on rebounds and free throws and win a game like that. And they haven't. It's early in the season, man. But that's going to happen a lot more than we wanted to.
Well, giving up 20 offensive rebounds is just going to be hard to overcome. And we saw it against Purdue, and we saw it again last night. So,
knowing Oates, the way now tonight from a gambling standpoint, put some money on Bama first half. If it's a normal Bama bounce back. But Wright's not being there scares me.
Yeah. Hey, you got to run. Thank you, Robert. Good phone call. We'll come back with Drew DeArmond, the Rocket Man, next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
And the clock's going to run out, and Bama's going to win it. And for the love, let's get out of here.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide head to Auburn for the 90th edition of the Iron Bowl. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
See the game. The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide100.9.com.
It's time for the Rocket Man, Drew DeArmond. Before we get to Drew, kind of a follow-up on what I was talking about with the experience that Gonzaga has. And listen, this is the system that we have, Chase. So, I mean, it does no good to criticize it. But this is an example of what we're dealing now within college sports. Tyon Grant Foster, who had a big game last night. I mean, he had a big game against Alabama. 21 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, an assist and a steal. His first year of college basketball was 2018-2019. He spent 2 years at Indian Hills Community College, 2 seasons. 2020-2021, he was at Kansas. 2021-2022, he was at DePaul. 2022-2023, he didn't play. 2023-2024, he was at Grand Canyon. 24-25, he was at Grand Canyon. And now he's at Gonzaga, and he still has eligibility. He turns 26 in a couple of months. So, hey, listen, they say he has eligibility, okay? I mean, Diego Pavia is working to play another year at Vanderbilt. The quarterback of Tennessee has joined him. That's the world that we live in now. So, but it backs up what I was talking about with Gonzaga. I think their average age of their starters was like, I want to say 23, 24 years old. All right, let's get Drew in here. Drew, I tweeted out last night, Gonzaga last night, too strong, too big, too strong, too experienced for Alabama. And I thought that showed up down the stretch. Now, I still think if Alabama did what they do better than they did it, they still could have won this game. I'm not going to buy into the fact that you've got to out-rebound a team like this. I think you just have to be your best version of yourself. You can't miss free throws. You can't miss wide open threes. You can't let the ball stick and turn it over down the stretch. They could have won this game. But Gonzaga is going to be a load for a lot of people, Drew. They're a good team. And I said before the season, if Alabama went 2-2 over this four-game stretch, I'd be okay with that. And they went 2-2. So 95-85 last night, Gonzaga over Alabama. What'd you see?
Well, LeBaron Filon had a really nice game. Too many turnovers, though. Did have 7 assists. I gave him 29, but didn't get enough help. Aiden Holloway, for most of the game, was missing in action. Couldn't throw it in the ocean. 4 of 15 is not going to cut it. 2 of 10 from 3. You've got to shoot the basketball better than that, especially if Latrell Wrightsell is not available and he's hurt yet again, so he will not play in this showcase. So you won't give him. And then I'll quote my old high school basketball coach, Rich Valavicious, who played at Indiana and Auburn. Houston Mallett could give you a dead man could give you what Houston Mallett gave you last night. He gave you absolutely nothing. 0-for-2 from the floor, 2 rebounds, 26 minutes on the floor. I mean, what impact are you making?
No assists, no steals.
I mean, he did absolutely nothing. So, I mean, and he's a good player, and he's a hustle guy, but he had a terrible game last night. I mean, you know, he wasn't very good. And then Taylor Bowen foul trouble, ends up only with 14 minutes on the court. He doesn't give you much. He gives you 4 rebounds, only 1 made shot. He needs to be an impact player, a guy that's impactful on both ends. He needs to be a double-digit scorer. He needs to be one of your best rebounders. He didn't give you that. He had another dead man line. So you had two of your core players, if you're going to be an NCAA tournament team and you're going to be a contender in the SEC, that need to show up and play that did not show up last night. I thought Aiden Sherrill was pretty good. 30 minutes on the floor, gave him 14, made 6 of 9. At least he made some shots, got 6 boards. Stayed out of foul trouble relatively, so he did show some rim protection last night. Bristow, I mean, he's still, you have to understand with him, he's still getting back in the flow.
He is.
He's still not completely healthy. He didn't have a great game last night, but he did help you on the glass. He gave you 11 rebounds. He did give you 7 points. So he did do some good things while he was on the court. And then, honestly, the rest of your bench, except for Amari Allen, really gave you nothing. London Jimison made a shot late, but Amari Allen, he was solid, no doubt about it. But Alabama's just got to have more balance. They've got to have Bowen show up. They've got to have Houston Mallett show up. They've got to – and they need Aiden Holloway to be more consistent, especially with Latrell Wrightsell out for a few games now. I know it's precautionary, but if you're playing a team the caliber of Gonzaga and Mark Few, who've established themselves as arguably the best program on the West Coast, you are not going to win if you shoot 9 of 29 from 3, 14 of 23 from the free throw line, and you turn it over 13 times and get out-rebounded and eviscerated on the offensive glass, then you're going to lose. I mean, it was a back-and-forth game. They led for much of the first half and then made a great run in the second half to get a small lead. But down the stretch, they just weren't good enough on both ends of the floor. They didn't play very well. And like Nate Oates said, and it's one of my favorite traits in Nate Oates, he's not going to sugarcoat things and try to worry about your NIL check and whether or not your inner circle may get offended. He's going to call your ass out, and he did. Take care of the basketball, make shots, rebound, play tougher. You got to do that. And see, that's what makes great coaches. You can't worry about all the utter BS that goes on off the floor. You coach your team. And so they've got to get better. And now they don't need a hangover, because you sure as heck don't need to drop a game to a UNLV program where Jerry Tarkanian, Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon, and George Ackles and Greg Anthony are not walking through that door. So you need to take care of them. You need to play better basketball tonight. Some of those guys that no-showed last night need to show a little pride and play better basketball. and you need to get a dub. And they've already won on the road at Madison Square Garden and what was basically a road game in Chicago at the United Center. So I don't want to hear that they're playing UNLV on their home floor. They need to beat UNLV and get to this third game and try to go 2-1 on this trip and this just really tough stretch that they're being a part of right now.
Drew, on Reitzel, do you think this is just precautionary mental because of the fact that he tore his Achilles on this floor last year? You think that's why he's being held out? Or is it just because he's not where he needs to be physically?
Well, I think it's more the way you were listening to Roger and Brian last night. It sounded like it's more just being precautionary, and that he does have a lower leg injury, that he suffered it. And he did, if you remember, don't forget in the Garden that he did suffer a ankle injury that he came back from
right. And
still finished the game. And so he has been a little bit banged up. So I think that's absolutely legit. I don't think it has anything to do with, returning to the scene of the crime because, in my opinion, if Latrell were healthy, he'd want to make amends for missing that time last year. And if he had played last night and been himself, perhaps Alabama could have still found a way to win the game. Because if you can get a 15-point game out of Reitzel to pick up the slack for Holloway not playing well and for Millett being missing in action, then you can still win the game. So I think it's just being precautionary. Hopefully he'll be back soon because they certainly need him. They need Jahlil Bethea. Just simply for the depth and for, the overall athleticism and fit for the system. Hopefully he's going to be back before SEC play. But again, like I said, late tip tonight for you Bama fans that may be off work already for the holidays. You can stay up and watch some Alabama basketball starting at 11 p.m. Central Time against UNLV and Josh Pastner. And it's a game, honestly, that Alabama needs to win because you don't want to have a bad loss on your resume out of conference. You want to win those games that you can. Certainly the two losses they have are high quality ones. One is to arguably the best team in America, and then this Gonzaga team down the road may prove to be a top eight team in the country. So certainly there's nothing wrong with playing two very competitive games against them. You just don't want to drop a game to Josh Pastner and UNLV.
I agree. Need to win tonight, that's for sure. Drew DeArmond with us. Let's talk some football because it is Iron Bowl week. And this is a unique one, Drew. And I want to ask you about separating fact from fiction, myth from reality. And I'm not saying that Auburn has not been a difficult place to play for Alabama, because it has been. But several of those games, I think it's 10-7 at Jordan-Hare Stadium, Auburn has an advantage. You remember they won the first four there before Alabama won one. Over the last few years, whether they're close games or not, Alabama has had success down there. And to say it's a house of horrors, would indicate to me that they would have won a home conference game at some point this season. Maybe they will against Alabama, but they're 0-3 right now. I guess what I'm saying is I do respect Auburn. I do respect that they've held together. I do respect the fact that they have showed energy and enthusiasm, and they had a freshman quarterback who had one of the most impressive debuts of any freshman quarterback I've ever seen. But still, you've got one team that is 9-2 and 6-1 in the league, and a team that is 5-6 and 1-6 in the league. Alabama's a better football team than Auburn. I'm not going to debate that with anybody, Drew. Now, the question is, can they play better on Saturday night at Jordan-Hare Stadium and beat this Auburn team?
Well, they've got to clean some things up. In order to beat Auburn on the road, you've got to play good complementary football. You can't have a disastrous special teams performance like you did, against Oklahoma. You need to clean up the kicking game, Well, and you need to finish drives. If you finish drives, then you don't have to depend on the place kicking for 4 points, except for extra points, which Connor Salty's been fine with those. But certainly, I wouldn't want to have to settle for three a lot. I mean, you got to score touchdowns to win in Jordan-Hare Stadium, no doubt about it. To me, you've got to get Ty Stimson off to a good start. I didn't think he was very good in the second quarter the other day, and really, he's been, just okay the last month. Now, situational football-wise, he's put together, stretches of each game. So such against South Carolina in the fourth quarter, against LSU in the first half, where he made enough plays to help you build a lead, and then your defense was able to hold that and close it out. So he had, except for against Oklahoma where he turned the ball over, he really, up until that point, had one turnover all year as far as interceptions. Yes, he's suffered some fumbles, but he'd only really been responsible for about one turnover per game, if that. He'd done a good job protecting the football. The Oklahoma game was the first time, and then we saw a little bit of it last week, even though one of those interceptions, you don't really count to me because it's a Hail Mary into the end zone. He was just trying to put his team in position to score some points. But certainly the interception was a poor throw, poor decision. Didn't see the depth of the linebacker and the way he dropped. And then he nearly got another one picked off in that quarter. So that's my reaction to his play. I didn't think he played that great, even though he went 11 of 16. So to me, he's got to revert back to the Ty Simpson that's protected the ball, but also made plays. And certainly, I think Auburn secondary can be had. I don't think they're very good in the slot. I don't think they're very good at corner, quite frankly. And I think their safety play has been spotty. So it's going to be up to the offensive line to protect the QB, give him time to throw. And then Ty's got to throw the ball on time. Don't squeeze it. Get it out of your hand. And if he does that, I think some plays can be made. Now, they do need to manufacture some sort of running game. I thought the running game was okay against Eastern Illinois. Certainly you're going to overwhelm a defense like that. They weren't very good. But you're going to have to be able to run the ball a little bit against Auburn, because I do think, you know, that the Tigers are going to challenge Alabama. They're going to try to take the run away, make Alabama one-dimensional, count on Ty to make some of the mistakes that he's made the last few weeks, because I would be surprised if Durkin and those guys light the box up, because if you lighten the box, it gives Alabama a chance to run it. Because anybody, even if they're not a good running football team, if you only put four or five in the box, you can get guys blocked and spring guys. But I will say this too. I'm going to be interested to see how Alabama's coaching staff attacks Auburn, because while everybody's made a big deal about their offense and how they've, you know, played really well the last two games with a bye in between, their defense did not play well at all against Vanderbilt and then got off to a rocky start against Mercer. So the defense hasn't been as dominant the last few weeks. I mean, it's interesting. The script is kind of flipped,
right?
Because early in the season, it would have been Alabama's the better team offensively, Auburn's the better team defensively. Now that's flipped. And now Auburn, with Alex McPherson, who seems to have, you know, and Godspeed to him, gotten healthy again, Auburn's in the much better spot with their place kicking. So, but if you're Alabama, here's my thought on it. You don't want to depend on the place kicker to win you a game. You really haven't throughout the Kalen DeBoer era. You got to go out and be aggressive and score points. And you're probably going to be without Josh Cuevas. And so you need to, you know, have guys. And I think that's what kind of they did in the Eastern Illinois game. You got to get a guy like Marshall Pritchett comfortable. It's certainly not, you know, you're not playing Eastern Illinois this week. You're playing the Auburn Tigers. Much, much different. But you needed to get him some confidence. You need Caleb Edwards to go out there and make plays. Might need to use Brody Dalton as a blocker. So they've used some different combinations, because I don't think you can count on Cuevas or Danny Lewis to be healthy. So you got to have some other guys step up. And then, and really, quite frankly, Jeremy Bernard took the week off, but he's got to get back to making plays. You need Ryan Williams to have a really nice game, Lottie Brooks, Isaiah Horton. This offense, they haven't had a good game in a while, Gary, as far as putting close to four good quarters together. They need to do that against Auburn. And, you know, I think Alabama's going to win the game 28-21. My game flow perspective is going to be a lot like 09. I think it's going to be a war. I think you've got to stay in it four quarters. But then at the end, you've got to go take it. Mm-hmm. I don't think Auburn's going to get – they're certainly going to come out and play well, playing in Jordan-Hare Stadium at night. And so I just think Alabama needs to come out aggressive on both sides of the ball, continue to play good defense, maybe create some turnovers, because still Ashton Daniels played well against Vandy, but he doesn't have a lot of experience in the SEC. And that's another thing. You can talk about, you know, a lot of this coaching staff at Alabama hasn't been to the Iron Bowl in Jordan-Hare. Well, Ashton Daniels, none of these quarterbacks, they've even played in an Iron Bowl. So there's some inexperience on both sides, and I think it's up to Ty Simpson, Alabama, the Alabama defense, and then maybe find a way to make a play of your own in the kicking game. We saw Keon Keeley block a punt this past week. Find a way to make a big play in the kicking game and win this thing on Saturday night.
That's a great synopsis, Drew. We're getting up against the clock. 30 seconds. Based on what he did against Mercer, and I know it was Mercer, you expect Auburn to have a package for Deuce Knight on Saturday night?
Potentially, but I think you're mostly going to see Ashton Daniels. Certainly Deuce is a hell of an athlete. They may try to use him a little bit situationally, especially in the red zone, but I think you're mostly going to see Ashton Daniels. And I'll just say this, if Alabama can find a way to rush for 120 yards, win the plus-minus, the turnover ratio, and if Ty Simpson and this offense can make some key plays and be good on third down, which is a part where they weren't. They weren't good on third down against OU. If they get back to the formula that got them here, they're going to win this game, and then they're going to march on to Atlanta.
Great stuff, Drew. Appreciate you, man. Tell everybody real quickly where they can find you.
Yeah, they can find me at DrewD977ESPN on X. Our station is 970, at 977ESPN, pardon me. If you miss Talking Ball with Scott Tyson and myself, you can always catch it at 97.7 The Zone on SoundCloud or 977ESPN.com. And we certainly wish you and your listeners and everyone in the city of Chambers and Tuscaloosa a happy Thanksgiving with their friends and family. And certainly we always appreciate the time.
Thank you, Drew. All right, we'll be back to wrap up the first hour of the Gary Harris Show right after this timeout.
And all the science I don't understand.
You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour
for his clients. Remember M for money and Mesrano.
If it has a logo on it, call me. 205-800-8000.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line in, touchdown, Alabama.
On your home for Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9.
And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Pleased to meet you.
All right, 9:59, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Just like we started the show, phone calls are lined up when we get into hour number two. We got Tom, we got Pat, we got another call coming in. We'll get to all the phone calls, and Philip is on the line as well. We'll get to all those phone calls. We'll have plenty of time for them in the second hour of the Gary Harris Show.
And in style. Don't miss the Black Friday sale at Chrissy's Boutique inside Irvin's in Northport. One day only, and it's going to be fabulous.
Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV, Crimson Tide Kickoff, play-by-play for Alabama sports, and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for The Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of The Gary Harris Show for this Tuesday, November 24th. 5th, 2025. Good conversation in the first hour. A lot of phone calls. Judy Armand broke it down on Alabama men's basketball and Iron Bowl. Let's get to phone calls. We got Tom, we got Pat, and we got Philip going to lead us off here in this second hour. Hey, good morning, Tom.
Morning, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well. Enjoying the rain.
Ain't that right? Boy, that was a welcome sign this, sound this morning at 3 o'clock.
Absolutely.
And it, you know, it gave it to us for about 4.5 hours without stopping.
Yeah, needed it bad. Nearly two inches here locally, right. So good stuff, yeah. Cleared up my sinuses, you know, a little bit, too.
Yeah, that'll help it. I guarantee you that. I thought Drew was spot on with his assessment of Alabama and Auburn. And my confidence ain't real high in Alabama going into this game. And because I worry about every game we play, but always this game is, you know, on up there in terms of stress. And a fun stress, I might add, but stress just the same. But Philip pointed out something, and when he gets on, you could get him to elaborate a little further. He is a body language guy. I am too, but I think his is a little higher level than mine is. He observed that Ty was not having fun this past Saturday, and he was kind of like, you know, off to himself and loner acting and not celebrating. And I've noticed some change in his demeanor in the last 2 weeks. I think that maybe a confidence thing. I'm not sure. I hadn't figured it out yet. But I'll tell him this. It's freaking football season, son. It's time for you to get it in gear and get going. This is a big game, not only for us, first, the fans first, and the coaches second. But you better do what you got to do this week, and you better go out there to win this game, and don't go out there being a blame sheep.
Hey, man, you laid it down like the sheriff always does. To respond to what you just said, I think you will. I think Ty will be ready to go. I think he's going to lay it all on the line. I think they all will, man. I think that they're going to go down there and you're going to see an amazing effort from Alabama, and I think they're going to prepare well. I think they're the better team, and I think they're going to win the game. And I'll make my score prediction tonight on Tider Insider TV, but I think Alabama's going to win the football game.
I'll be watching. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. All right, let's get to Pat, and phone calls continue to line up. We'll get to everybody. Hey, Pat, good morning.
And how you doing? We can't be Debbie Downer. We got to be positive. We got to look at that this game is an absolute must win. This is probably, it's turned into perhaps the biggest Iron Bowl we've seen in a number of years. I mean, they've had a chance to knock us out of the playoffs before. And we got to go down there and just take care of business. This is a business trip to Lee County, no doubt. And that their secondary is a whole lot weaker than most secondaries we've seen. But a defensive front, they probably, I doubt, is better than Oklahoma. Would you not agree?
That Auburn's defense is better than Oklahoma's?
I said the Auburn's defensive front is better
I don't agree with that. I think Oklahoma's front is better. I think Auburn's has had a good defense. I don't think it's anywhere in as good as Oklahoma's. That's just my opinion.
Okay, well, I hope you're right, because I've heard a lot of talking heads say that Auburn's front line is better.
They're talented. I think they're good. I didn't see Oklahoma's defense get lit up for 40 something points by Vanderbilt. I think Auburn's a good defense.
Well, I said their secondary. Number two is fantastic.
I think they're a good defense. I don't think they're in Oklahoma's category. If they were, I think they'd have a better record than they have. But listen, I think Auburn's a good team. I'm not going to make them into this juggernaut. They're 1-6 in the SEC, Pat. 1-6. Yeah. At some point, your record has to matter. Okay, it has to matter. I have a ton of respect for them, but we got some Alabama people talking like they're the team that's 9-2. I mean, they haven't won an SEC game at home. They're 1-6 in the league. There's a reason for that, okay? And I'm not saying they can't win the game. That's not what I'm saying. But to sit here and try to make them into some juggernaut, I'm just not going to do it.
I got you. I just want to give them a big head so we go down there and spank their butt.
Well, I give them a lot of credit for hanging in there. I said that. You know, a lot of teams that have had four straight losing seasons and are a loss away from having a fifth straight losing season and have only won one SEC game, and that game was against Arkansas, a team that hasn't won any SEC games, probably would have folded their tent. And they have not done that. They have played hard, and they have had a chance to win a lot of games. So I don't miss them at all. That's not what I'm doing, but Alabama's played better football teams and beaten better football teams than Auburn this year. So hopefully they'll go down there, like you said, and they'll handle their business. And I think if Alabama plays well, they'll win the game. And if they don't, then, you know, it'll be disappointing. There's no other way around it.
You know, if Auburn was playing for a horseshoe championship, they would be right there in it. All you got to do is be close.
I hear you, Pat. Hey, I'm planning on being at Industry on Friday. Just got to make sure that Bob can go down there and set me up.
If I'm in town, I'm going to come eat dinner with you.
Yeah, and they've got Lucky Lunch meeting 3, and they'll have the catfish. Hey, good call, Pat. And I wasn't trying to get on you at all. That's not my intent.
No.
They're a team to be dealt with, okay? And it's your rivalry game, and Alabama fans have anxiety. But like I said yesterday, I mean, Ohio State fans have anxiety. You know, they've lost 4 in a row to Michigan. They won the national championship last year and lost. Georgia fans have anxiety. You have anxiety when you play your rival. There's no other way around it. But all we can do to this point is look at the seasons, and based on what we've seen to this point, Alabama is a better football team than Auburn. Now, again, that does not guarantee that Alabama is going to win the game, but they are a better team. I don't know how anybody, and I know we'll hear some people try to argue that you could look at the two seasons and say that Auburn is a better football team than Alabama. They are not, but you're right. They are capable of winning the game, and that's what has everybody nervous.
Hey, but unlike the last caller, I trust in Ty, and I think he's a fine, fine individual, and that he's going to lay it all on the line in order to win this ball game. There's no doubt in my mind about that.
I'm with you. Thank you.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Pat. Good phone call. All right, let's get to Philip, and then we'll finish out the segment with Jeff up in Tennessee. Hey, Philip.
Hey, Gary, I agree with you 100%, and Tom 100%. The confidence level, you know, that some of my fans around my area have right now is weirdly low. And that, you know, Alabama has got a good football team that is a win away from going to the SEC championship game. And to do that, you're not a bad football team. You're a good team. So let's get that out there now. Alabama's got a good football team. Things do need to fall into place Saturday. You know, I wish the injury situation was a little bit better, but Auburn's got people hurt too. But, you know, I think if Ty can get off to a strong start and, you know, deliver his ball sharply and crisply, and we don't have any drops or things like that, and get a little momentum, I think it can be an awfully good night. Now, I'd like to ask you this, Gary, trash Ty or anything, but if Ty, let's say we got a tie ball game at half and we go within the third quarter, it's 10-10, and we're struggling moving the ball with a lot at stake, do you think DeBoer will make a QB change?
No. I think that he is a one quarterback guy. Ty is the guy. I think the only way that you would see a change is if it's deeper into the game and Alabama's behind and there's absolutely no signs that they're going to be able to get anything going offensively with Ty. I think Ty's the quarterback, and I think they'll ride him the entire way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that the mechanisms behind that are not just him either. the mechanisms are the line blocking, the running backs hitting the hole and doing their job. So there's a lot of mechanisms that make him either succeed or fail, just as they do any quarterback. The other thing I want to talk about, too, is college basketball. You have to be a doggone expert now to even hardly handicap a game, because you're sitting there thinking, well, Alabama should match up with these guys. You know, they've done this, they've done that. But then you start doing deeper dives into the weeds, and you find out, well, they've got a guy from Serbia that's 24. They've got a guy from Greece that's 24, and he played a little pro basketball. I just hate the way that's – I hate how –
Yeah, you got pros playing college basketball now. Gonzaga's got them. Illinois had them. You're going to have G League players coming in very soon. And as Nick Saban has said, and I said it, I think, before Nick Saban, you're going to – at some point, you're going to have a – you're going to have a former NFL player or a former NBA player that's going to come back and play college ball. I think it'll happen. You'll have a guy who was drafted and it didn't turn out for him the way that he wanted. And you know, maybe he's on a practice squad or something, and he's going to petition. He's going to say, listen, I've still got a year of eligibility left, or 2 years of eligibility left, or whatever. And I don't – now, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see – how would you stop him? I mean, we've allowed everything to happen now. You know, I mean, yeah. We got guys playing 7-8 years of college ball. We got – you know, we're bringing in pros from other countries. I mean, we're bringing in G League players. I mean, the next step is to have a player at the highest level who says, you know, I want to go back to college. I mean, that's the next thing that we're going to see. So it is. It's hard to handicap. It's hard to handicap these teams. It's very difficult from the standpoint of, these teams can go out and replenish their roster, and then you're going to see much more of the Eastern European type players that are going to be coming over and playing college basketball after they've already had pro careers. So it is what it is, but you know, once you tip it up, you know, you got to play the game, and Alabama didn't play well enough last night to win.
No, they didn't, and it wasn't just the roster stuff. It was hitting free throws and missing free throws and all that stuff. But I would bet that Alabama's probably going to re-angle some of their recruiting priorities, and I would imagine Alabama's going to start looking into what some of these other teams are doing.
Well, I think Nate Oates will look into anything that makes them better. I do. I don't know that. Again, you've got to, you know, he recruits to a system, so you've got to be able to do what he does. But yeah, they're going to look, you know. And another thing too, you I know you look at, sometimes you'll see a player and you say, you know, boy, he's not good enough to play for this team. But a lot of times it's about fitting guys in the NIL budget. You're right, recruiting is so different now that, you know, you might have X amount of dollars left in your NIL budget, and you need to fill a roster spot, and you see a guy who maybe is not quite as talented as you would like, but maybe he happens to be 7 feet tall and 250 pounds, and he fits your NIL budget, and you are able to say, hey, we can get this guy, and maybe he can give us some minutes, or maybe he can help us out. He gives us some more size. So there's so many things that go into building rosters now.
No doubt.
And NIL is real, and it matters, and how much you're willing to spend and have to spend matters. I think Alabama has done an excellent job under Nate Oates and Preston Murphy of maximizing their NIL dollars, of keeping these rosters competitive year after year. And they're going to have a really good team. They're just playing, you're playing a stretch of games against the people they're playing against. It's hard to win them all.
Right. Hey, Gary, you have a good Thanksgiving, man.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate you. We're going to get one more call in before we hit the break. Jeff up in Tennessee. Hey, Jeff.
How's it going?
Going well.
I just want to say, you guys must be scared of Auburn. I mean, Kentucky beat Auburn. You almost be scared of them down on the plains. I know it's a rivalry game, but what's the point spread, about 14?
Oh, the point spread's only like 6. Alabama's like 5.5, 6, 5.5, 6, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could be more than that. But that's just a rivalry game for it, I guess. Got to be ready to play. I asked somebody yesterday, what if Oklahoma, Alabama, and Vandy all lose Saturday? Alabama, Vandy, and can't think of the other one, not Oklahoma, but another team that was in there in the games for a playoff. What if they all lose? Are they all out?
It could be crazy. I mean, if you start having teams lose, you know, if Oklahoma loses and Georgia loses and Ole Miss loses and Alabama loses, it could be.
Why I say that is, you know Sankey, the great Sankey, the one everybody bows down to, he says that He said the college football playoff should have no automatic qualifiers. Do you agree with that?
He says they should have no automatic qualifiers?
Yeah, no, the SEC wants no automatics for the football, none. None whatsoever. Like, no automatic. Like, who wins the league, like ACC, the rest of these leagues. But the Big Ten, I mean, they agree with it too. I'm not sure if they do, but I know the SEC has come out and said they want no automatic qualifiers for the football playoff. Take the best 12 teams, and that's all.
Well, I don't have a problem with that. I think it ought to be 16. But I think you got to get the best, you know, try to get the best 16 teams in and line them up and play them. I don't know that I'm a fan of, I'm certainly not a fan of buys. I mean, I don't think if this is college sports, why should one four teams have bye and other teams not? I mean, I think I'd love to see 1 through 16 play home games in the first round, 1 host 16, 2 host 15, 3 host 14, all the way on down to 8 hosting 9. And from there you go to 8 and you start playing in the bowl games and the neutral site games. I think that would be better than this system that we have now. Now, but
do you know how many teams Division III has?
Do they do six? They do 16, right?
No, 40.
They do 40? Wow! I did not.
They have 20. I think it's, let's see, 24 of them get byes, and then they have eight. I think they started last weekend. I believe that's right. They have eight games that are played. 24 of them get byes. And then their championship is, I think it's the first week of January. I think it's in I can't remember where it's at, because they have 40 teams, and of course the FCS has 24, and they start this weekend. They start this coming weekend all over the country, because there's a team in the team that Kentucky played Tennessee Tech. They finished 11-1. It's the first time they've ever won 10 or more in a season. Best season they've ever had. They're going to play, I believe it's North Dakota or South Dakota, one of them in the first round Saturday in Cookeville.
Yeah. They start well, I know this. I wish Division I would go to 16 teams. I think it would be better served.
Well, hey. I think they will eventually.
Yeah.
Like I said yesterday, with all these conferences having nine conference I think they eventually feel, which I don't like, but it's about money. So that's
yep. All right, Jeff, great phone call. Thank you. We got to get to the break. We're going to come back. We can take some more phone calls, 205-342-9904. Also, we've got Jeff Spiegel coming up in a little bit here. We're busy this morning with calls. Give us a ring here on the Gary Harris Show. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Bama football, Bama basketball, a lot going on. We'll be right back.
West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines from Tuscaloosa Thread. Strong storms left thousands without power across West Alabama this morning. And ABC 3340 Chief Meteorologist James Spann tells us there's more to come.
There is a low-end risk of severe storms across all of Alabama, including a level 2 out of 5, include Tuscaloosa, Birmingham.
Stay tuned to Operation Stormwatch.
For sweet trolley candy. It's a flavor collision you've got to try. But hurry, it's only here for a limited time. Mountain Dew Trolley. Do the dew, do the worm.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by Two Dimes. Online at TwoDimes.club. And by Druid City Regional Medical Center. DCHSystem.com.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and 3 special Monday.
And as always, no work and all play at Silver Star and Golden Moon Casinos. So come on, leave it all behind and head to Pearl River Resort.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and out.
Nature Made is made to care for you every day. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Segment. So we got a couple minutes here. We don't have phone calls. So we're going to get in a little bit of Nate Oates because that was late last night. Most people haven't heard it. The coach was joined by some media out there in Las Vegas and also on a Zoom call. So here's Coach Nate Oates post game last night following Alabama's 95-85 loss at the Players Era Tournament in Las Vegas to Gonzaga.
Yeah, you got to give Gonzaga a lot of credit. I mean, they play hard. Big physical, you know, every time we made a run, they had an answer. Obviously, one of the better programs in the country over the last 15, 20 years, and they figure out a way to win games, and they're doing it on the old boards. You know, we gave up 25 second chance points. It's hard to win doing that. So, season high for offensive rebounds for them. And you know what? We've kind of shown that. If we're not really locked in to take care of the defensive glass, that we're susceptible to that. I mean, it's happened. Purdue destroyed us on the glass. You know, two big games we won. We all rebounded St. John's, or maybe even if I remember right, and we won the game. Against Illinois, we only lost the glass by 2, and we won the game. Tonight, we lose the glass by 12. And you know, on top of that, we can't make a free throw, didn't shoot it well, lost the turnover battle, you know, and we ended up losing the game to a pretty good team. But, you know, they play hard, they get on the glass. They get a lot of guys that can go rebound them at time. Grant Foster, like they're starting 3, has 5 boards. Like we just, we emphasize our guards, got our rebounding better, and, you know, we starting backcourt at 0 rebounds at the half and ended up with, you know, Holloway ended up with 3 and Barron ended up with 0. Mari didn't have a rebound at the half. You know, he's got to get in and help. He ended up with 4 kind of late there. But, you know, it's not just our bigs and they're not, you know, Taylor didn't have a rebound at the half. We got to get more out of him. But, you know, it's everybody. Everybody's got to contribute. And we're not a pretty tough physical rebounding team right now. Until we get that way, we're going to have a hard time consistently beating the best teams in the country.
Questions?
I think the 2-point game when LeBaron had his last make, it was like 67-65, and then they sort of went with a little bit of a stretch, you know, being the lead up a little bit more. But where did you get big in defense to there and make life still work?
You know, they came out of the one timeout in the zone, and he turned it over. He's got to be better. I mean, he scored it well tonight. Everybody knows he can score it and kind of get in the paint pretty easily. He can finish at the rim well. I thought our bigs did a good job kind of in ball screens and then kind of sealing them off to give him some pretty easy layups that he converted. But he made a couple threes there early in the game. You know, they adjusted a little bit. They went zone. I think they switched some. You know, we're going to see that. You know, at St. John's, I don't think switched a whole lot. We weren't really ready for it, and they switched the whole game on us. So I think we're going to see different coverages, especially in ball screens, than what maybe some teams typically do, just because, you know, he does a good job. I think he was kind of covering them up a little bit there with their quick showing back, and they adjusted and went to switching. I don't think we did a great job tagging a switching. I don't think we did a great job of tagging their zone. And they did a good job kind of switching stuff up. And he, you know, he got slowed down there. But we can't. I mean, he did score 29. We can't, you know, ask him to score 40 to win the game. Like, you know, it'd be nice if he grab a rebound or take care of the ball better. He can't have 6 turnovers either. But we got to get more help for him. And some of that's on him. He's got to set his teammates up a little bit better to score and help him out a little bit. I mean, I think we've got one of the better shooting teams in the country, and we didn't shoot it well tonight. So we got to find better threes for our shooters. Part of that's on them. Part of that's on him. Part of that's on our guys that are screening. It's a team thing to get our shooters better shots.
All right, some good stuff there from Nate Oates. We're going to cut out of it because we got to hit the break. I also need to speak to you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Game Day Men's Health offers convenient, expert-backed care for all men looking to feel and perform their best. They specialize in testosterone health, erectile dysfunction treatment, weight loss therapy, peptides, and vitamin therapy. Your personalized treatment starts with their signature three-step plan. You complete intake and simple blood work. You'll get the results in 15 minutes. Meet with the clinic director, who specializes in hormone therapy and men's health, and begin your customized treatment plan. You have free consultations. There is absolutely no risk. Fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, and weight gain aren't just everyday annoyances. They can be signs your body needs support. At Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. What you can expect from Game Day Men's Health: boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts, and faster muscle recovery. Feel better almost immediately. Game Day Men's Health, located at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa.
Game. The Tide Post Game Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:34, and obviously Thanksgiving is on Thursday, so Jeff Spiegel graciously agreed to join us a couple of days early for his segment. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Gary. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's Iron Bowl week. That's the tradition. You know, you have Thanksgiving, and then Friday you start getting ready. And boy, I tell you what, it's an interesting game. I said this morning, doesn't mean Alabama's going to win. Best team doesn't always win, but Alabama is a better football team than Auburn. I know a lot of Alabama fans are feeling the anxiety the way Ohio State fans are and Texas A&M fans are, you know, because you're the better team and a rivalry doesn't always mean you're going to win the game. But Alabama's 9-2. They're 6-1 in the SEC. Auburn's 5-6. They're 1-6 in the league. There's a reason for that. And I think if you're Alabama, Jeff, you have to feel like, you know, if we play well, we should win this game regardless of the venue. Do you agree with that line of thinking?
I do agree with that. And I don't know what the stats are. I haven't done that much research, but it's been my experience that most of the time the favorite in this game wins. And because it's just the way, you know, that it's worked out. I mean there have been some surprises, there have been some upsets, you know, some major upsets, there have been some mild upsets, but you know, in most cases the team that's favored, you know, is a team that wins the game. That being said, while Alabama is the favorite in this thing, and I'm driving in my car, by the way, and it's raining really, really,
careful.
Really, really hard. Be careful.
Yeah,
I know. Take it easy, right? But no, I think that Alabama fans have a reason to be nervous. I mean, going into this one, because, you know, they kind of hit their peak, Gary, during that four-game stretch where they beat all those ranked teams. And there have just been many times where they just haven't been that sharp. And Ty Simpson has turned it over 7 games in a row, threw a couple of picks, you know, in the last now that pick late in the first half was kind of a, you know, kind of a Hail Mary kind of thing. But that one pick was just, you know, kind of a head scratcher. He turns it over in his own territory way too much. So that gives Alabama fans some cause for concern. But Auburn's had kind of an up and down year, but you know, they're kind of coming on and they're getting some confidence and they're playing at home. And so that makes Alabama fans uneasy, and it should.
Yeah, I get it. I'm with you 110%. You mentioned Ty and the turnover issues, the fumbles, the interceptions. You know, there's a lot of chatter that he's not 100% physically. Of course, a lot of players at this point in the season aren't, but he is not playing at the level that he was earlier in the season. And clearly, Jeff, that'll be a key for Alabama, for him to play well in the game if they're going to win. Do you feel like that he is going to be able to get back to that Heisman candidate tie or the version that we've seen more the last few weeks?
Well, I think he will, but I think it all comes down to this. They've just got to protect him, you know, and I know that when he was in that stretch where he was playing really, really well, he did a really good job of stepping up in the pocket and, you know, avoiding the rush and, you know, making the great throws and making the heady plays and all that stuff. But, you know, now you get back to not quite the way it was in the Florida State game, but, you know, a little bit of a gun-shy look to him. You know, the eyes are a little wider, you know, than they were, you know, during that stretch. And I hate to say it, I'm not in his body, but the confidence, you know, doesn't seem to be where it was, you know, during that stretch. But look, if they could go out and they can protect him and they can give him time to throw and they can establish the run. We've said it every week. You know, if they could just get some semblance of a running game going where they can make Auburn respect that, that'll make his life run. It's the key to the game.
Jeff Spiegel with us. Auburn's quarterback situation, and I know it was Mercer, but my gosh, I was saying to some friends, I don't know that I've ever seen a more impressive debut by a freshman quarterback than Deuce Knight had against the Mercer Bears. 6 touchdowns, 400 yards of total offense. You know, we knew he could run, but he threw it well too. Do you think there'll be a package in this game for Deuce Knight against Alabama?
Oh, I think most definitely. I think he showed that, you know, he's kind of earned the right to get some snaps and go in there and run. I tell you, when he ran, and now listen, it's an easy comparison to make, but when he was running, and he was running away from people.
I know where you're
like
going. Yeah,
he
I agree.
Like Cam Newton.
It did.
Yeah, and he was big and he was fast, and I know he was out running the Mercer guys. But look, we talked about this several weeks in a row. The Mercer team, not a bad football team. You know, a SoCon championship team, an FCS team. But they got dudes on defense, too, that can run. But they could not catch him. And, I absolutely think he'll play some snaps.
Ultimately, it could come down to, you know, a play here or there. But I think the defenses will, you know, getting stops is always so important in a rivalry game. And for all the talk about how good Auburn's defense has been, you know, they've slacked off a little bit later. And I know at times I've said, boy, Cain Womack, you know, that defense has some holes. But you look up after 11 games statistically, Alabama's one of the best defenses, you know, top 10 defense in the country and right there with Oklahoma at the top of the SEC. I mean, and I understand, again, the opponent, but 34 total yards this past week, 2 first downs, 212 against Oklahoma, I think 232 against LSU. Alabama's defense statistically is better than Auburn's defense, and I think that might surprise some people based on what, you know, the rhetoric has been throughout the season.
I should know the answer to this question, but where did 34 yards stand in terms of the record book?
Well, I tell you this, Nick Saban's teams never did it. And I went back, you know, I think 92 might have been the lowest I'd seen it. And I tried to find it going back. It's hard, but it's one of the lowest of all time. Now, there might have been some defenses, you know, in those early 60s teams that Coach Bryant had or back under Frank Thomas or Wallace Wade in a different era of football. But in let's say, over the last 50 years, I think that might be the lowest output that Alabama's allowed.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Yeah, the defense has certainly been playing on point. And that's something that, you know, you can hang your hat on when you go into a rivalry game, especially when you go on the road and you're going into a hostile environment. Because it's very important that defense does always travel, especially when you're playing at a place like Jordan-Hare, where, you know, you need to make some plays and you need to turn them over and you need to try to, you know, silence the crowd and shut them up a little bit. And so that's going to be very important that the defense continues to play well. And then, you know, just like always, they win the Oklahoma game if they don't turn the ball over. I mean, just plain and simple. Mm-hmm. They're a better team than Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma's average I think starting spot for their scoring drives is like what, the 28 or the 30 or something like that?
41 yards was their longest drive of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't give anybody a short field. Anybody. And especially a team, you know, that especially a team that's playing on their home field with the home field advantage, you know, that Auburn's going to have.
All right, let me ask you about the Auburn coaching search. There's a lot of innuendo, obviously, on the internet age, social media, that an announcement could come on Sunday. Jeff, you cover Auburn a lot closer than I do. What are you hearing on the new football coach at Auburn? Is DJ Durkin, is he still in the hunt? If he wins Saturday, is he the coach, or are you hearing somebody else?
Well, I don't think it's one of those things. To me, I'm not connected. I'm probably the least connected person in the history of journalism.
You're not an insider, but that's okay. I'm not either. That's okay.
But here's my gut feeling, though. I mean, my gut feeling is that a deal has already been made, and that it doesn't really matter what DJ does in the Iron Bowl. There's a feeling that, you know, if he wins the Iron Bowl, he gets the job. I think the deal's already been done. I mean, to me, my gut feeling is that it's Summerall. You know, I think that's the logical choice.
Right.
Also, I think that a deal has been cut, you know, for DJ to stay as defensive coordinator.
Right.
I have no knowledge.
But that's your gut, yeah.
I mean, that's just my gut feeling, and that's a lot of conjecture out there headed in that direction. And I think it'd be a good choice.
Well, that's a great answer, Jeff. And you and I are dinosaurs. We know this in this business, but we come from a time when that's what local sportscasting was about. You presented the information, and you didn't go on claiming to be an insider and have, you know, you occasionally would work your opinion in, but for the most part, it was about giving the news. And I think you and I still feel like, to some degree, there's some value in that. So I appreciate that answer, and it makes a lot of sense. Finally, before we close it out, Alabama basketball last night, I said if they went 2-2 over the stretch against St. John's, Purdue, Illinois, and Gonzaga, I'd be okay with that. And that's what they did. They went 2-2. Now they need to beat UNLV tonight. But I said on social media last night, Gonzaga was just too big, too strong, and too experienced for them. And down the stretch, the Zags, you know, made the plays. Alabama missed some threes, missed some free throws, turned it over, and the result is their second loss of the season.
Yeah, well, in college basketball, it really is true. I mean, you can't win them all. You just can't. I mean, the last team to do it was Indiana back in 1976.
31-0, 1976, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you take the good, you take the good with the bad, you take the bad with the good, and, you know, they got out-rebounded. 48-36, which probably really sticks in Nate Oates' craw. But look, Gonzaga's going to out-rebound a lot of teams.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, that front line, I mean, EK and Grant Foster and Duff? Yeah, I mean, they combined for like 60 points and like 25 rebounds or something like that. I mean, they were just very beastly. And, you know, look, Alabama was hanging right in there with 4.5 minutes to go in the game. And then EK and Grant Foster kind of took over on an 11-0 run there, and then it was over. But, I mean, Gonzaga's good for a reason. They've been good for a long time for a reason. And plus, I mean, don't disregard the fact that they were a lot closer to home than Alabama was. There were a lot of Gonzaga fans in the building there that last night. So I'm interested to see how the rest of this tournament plays out and how they play.
All right, Jeff, good stuff. And always, you know, with ABC and ESPN and Disney having the SEC package, it's always a good lead-in to ELG Wrap on Saturday night. But this will be the best lead-in ever. You got the Iron Bowl leading into the ELG Wrap.
We do, and not only that, but we've got another EOG on Black Friday. So right after the Texas
A double.
A&M game. Yep. We'll do like a high school / Iron Bowl preview show. So looking forward to people watching that.
Oh, boy. A double dose of the ELG Wrap on Friday and Saturday. It should be fun. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, it is 10:47, and before we hit the break, I want to continue to remind you that Rock and Roll Sushi down on University Boulevard in Tuscaloosa, they've joined the Gary Harris family of restaurants, and they got great lunch specials. Of course, they got great dinner, too, but the sushi's outstanding. It's, you know, obviously made fresh right there. Their sushi chefs hook it up at their lunch specials. If you like a hibachi grill, they've got those I told you, Chase, I gave you a gift certificate. You got to get down there. But you get one of those bowls. You can get shrimp, steak, chicken mixed in with the veggies and the rice. Oh, man, so unbelievable. I like to combine it with a California roll. And that, matter of fact, I may hit that for lunch today. I talked myself into it. Ooh, that sounds good. Rock and Roll Sushi downtown at University Boulevard. All right, we're going to come back and take some more phone calls in this final segment. Tommy from Romulus has been patiently holding. Tommy, we'll get to you on the other side. One more segment to go on this Tuesday edition of the Gary Harris Show.
Christian Miller host.
Lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at PearlRiverResort.com. And by Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at Tuscaloosa.
Saturday, December 27th, Pearl River Resort Silver Star Convention Center.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours.
Clinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to PrimetimeMensClinic.com.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly cloudy with a few passing showers and thunderstorms today, the high 72. For tonight, storms ending this evening, the low 53. Tomorrow becoming mostly sunny and noticeably cooler, the high tomorrow very close to 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 62 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Never miss a moment the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
A brown-eyed girl. You're my brown-eyed girl.
And whatever happened?
This is a good one.
The Tuesday is so slow. Going down the old man with a transistor radio, standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow wall, slipping and sliding, all along the waterfall with you, a brown-eyed girl, you my brown-eyed girl, do you remember when? We used to sing sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la
la la de da, la de da.
All right, we gotta come back. Cutting into Tommy's time. He's been holding, but boy, that's a good song. That's one I've rocked on a few stages, and I'm not kidding you. I've rocked that tune on some stages before. All right, let's get to Tommy out in Romulus, who's been patiently holding. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, man, how are you, Gary?
Doing great.
We don't have much time. I'm just going to whistle.
We got several minutes. You've been waiting. You go ahead.
Okay. Tough loss last night in basketball. I mean, rebounding is still killing us in that department, look like it. When we need to get a good rebound, offensive rebound, it just seems like the ball melts away from us. But that's the game of basketball. For Saturday, forget about all this voodoo crap. Have more security, play smart football, and believe in each other and your players. And my other big, I'm going to be a boohoo on this one. I don't want Alabama fans to ever move Alabama football player. Coach Bryant and Coach Smollett would not put up with that. I'm very disappointed in the University of Alabama student section Saturday. They mocked that teacher. Well, he did this. Well, you shouldn't. You need to get behind all our players. It's now playoff time. We want to win Saturday. We want the title of state champion, and we want to go to the SEC title game. It's a step. Get behind this team. Road tie. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, Gary.
Great call, Tommy. Appreciate you, man. I'll be out. My plan right now is to still be back at industry on Friday. Got to make sure that Bob can set it up for me, but I think he'll be able to do that. So hopefully I'll see you then. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too, buddy.
All right. Thank you. All right. 10:55, and we're going to go ahead and wind it down for today. And before we do close it out, I do want to remind you about my friends at the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. The Y is ready for you when you're ready for the Y. I go to the downtown branch, 2300 13th Street, and they're open 7 days a week. And great facility, great people, great staff. The whole community of people at the Y make it worthwhile. And as I said, I've struggled to get in lately with my schedule, but when I do get back in the gym, it's always the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. And I think if you check it out, you'll understand why. So many great programs, from personal training to fitness classes to the Silver Sneakers program for seniors. They've got it all. Jeff Knox, the CEO, and his staff, boy, they know how to treat their members. I guarantee you that. You'll love it. Two outdoor lighted pickleball courts, too, have added a lot to the YMCA. That's the YMCA of Tuscaloosa. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Gary Harris Show. A reminder to catch me on TV tonight with your local sports, and also with Rodney Orr on Tider Insider TV tonight at 6:30 on WVUA 23. We will have our Iron Bowl score predictions tonight on that show, so we'll be looking forward to that. And I'm back here tomorrow in the studio. Again, we're shuffling the schedule a little bit because of no show on Thursday. The coach, Ellis Johnson, is going to join us tomorrow at 9:30 with his SEC football forecast. And also, Larry the Music Man will have his segment. And then on Friday, I'm planning on still being back for Fridays at the Free at Innisfree ahead of the Iron Bowl. Thursday, there'll be no show, obviously. I'm going to be with my sister and her family over in Birmingham, so I'm looking forward to that. All right, for Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. We've got the Miller's Edge coming up next, and then at 1 o'clock, it will be the Deep South College Football Show with Wyatt Fulton. At 2 o'clock, Ryan Fowler will take you home with the game. We'll crank it back up in the morning at 6 a.m. with the Martin Houston Show. Wimp and Barry inside the locker room, 7 to 9, and then I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. As I said, the Coach Ellis Johnson will be joining us tomorrow morning at 9:30. Have a great day, everybody.
You, my brown-eyed girl, and whatever happened to Tuesday and so slow, gone down the old man with a transistor radio, standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall, slipping out. A brown-eyed girl, you, my brown-eyed girl. Do you remember when we used to sing sha-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la
Come thinking about it.